Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It is your Caped Crusader, Cody, and we are keeping it geekly once again with our good friend Pam Cake of Art of War. We are here to break down chapter 2 and 3 with you. But first and foremost, Pam, how are you doing? Give us a little bit of a recap of what you've been up to since you last been on.
Hi, I'm recently I've been up to a bunch of art, and I've been actually working on anatomy and stuff myself. I know I'm not the actual artist for Art of War. I'm just a creator, and I work with a studio, but I still try to do drafts and everything. So when I turn everything over to them, they can simply just do the art really smoothly and efficiently. So I've just been working on my art, my own art, so the art is overall better.
Do you think learning that, you know, type of art and like really digging into it, like helps you like with scripting and when you're trying to design the panels, like in terms of for your artist?
Yeah, it helps me make drafts, and also reading helps too. Like if you read other mangas, it'll definitely help like help your process when you make your own stuff. I really had a good idea because I was always kind of into manga.
So
but
we
yeah,
have
it definitely helped a lot.
We have Ichthys over on YouTube stopping in to say what is up, Total Excellence. Good morning, Ichthys. How are you doing, man? Welcome to the stream. If you have any questions for Pam, feel free to ask away. So, Pam, I know we're here to break down chapter 2 and 3, but can you give us a little bit of a recap of, you know, who you are and how you got to creating Art of War for anyone that might have missed? I think it was interview 64. So anyone interested, feel free to hit up interview 64 and get a little bit of a recap. But for anyone that's here now, can you give us a little bit of a recap of who you are?
Well, I'm from Michigan, and I've always been into anime and always been into manga. And I did a webtoon about 3 years ago, and I wanted to win the contest then. I didn't win the contest because I didn't submit it in time, but that's what got me into writing stories and making them, actually processing them out for real. And I started with a webtoon called Program Makani. It's up right now on the webtoons. And that's you can tell it's kind of definitely shonen style, but it's definitely a webtoon, vertical read, so it's just straight up and down. But from there, I decided to go manga simply because I wanted a physical book to actually like have to myself. So I wanted to go the manga route. And also, if you go the manga route, like black and white pages, the process is much faster than if you have the color, like the entire page, different colors. It was just a better option for me as far as speed goes, as far as my anesthetic, because I actually like black and white manga over the color ones anyway. Like it just all was like a win-win to go the manga route. So I started out webtoon, and I just decided manga, and definitely Art of War was like it was like an automatic, like I have to make this story, especially when the idea came to me, and then I start having extra ideas about the story. So Art of War was like really just go to Art of War and gravitate towards that. You might hear a cat in the background.
Oh, no, that's fine. You might see my cat. We actually got a little cat tent since we last chat. So you'll sometimes see my cat like walk right into it and start snoozing. That's one of my favorite parts of it now. But time we were here, we talked about chapter 1. Can you give us a little bit of a breakdown of chapter 1? So we kind of have a good idea of what we're expecting when we go into chapter 2 and 3.
Yeah, so if you look at the cover has three characters. That's pretty much the main trio of Art of War, and it's Ronin, who's an artist from the 1200s, Sketch, who was an artist from the 1980s. Both of them in chapter one, they pretty much disappeared suddenly and just vanished at the end of the chapter. So once we get into chapter two, that's when we actually meet the girl in the middle there on the cover, which is Erin, and that's our main character. And yeah, chapter one was kind of like a setup to get to chapter two. And I know it's kind of odd to not meet your main character in chapter one, but it was kind of a route that I went just because I thought we should see some mechanics of Art of War in chapter one, and also just meet Ronin and Sketch first before we introduce like the modern day, because we actually go to the modern day like in chapter two. And Ronin, course, is from the 1200s. And oh yeah, and Sketch, she's from 1980s, and that's where they disappear from. Their own time.
So it's also mentioned that you're kind of fighting against like what is more or less the standard for American manga. Can you touch base on that as well?
So actually I do a lot of emails and stuff, and I actually got into contact with two separate pretty much not bigger names. Well, they're bigger names in the manga industry, A guy named Ben Applegate and the other guy, I can't remember his name, but just through email and talking to them, like when I first introduced what I was doing, the first thing they came back with, like both each of them in separate occasions, the first thing they came back with was, "Don't call my manga a manga." They said, "Call it a comic because you're making it in, America, and it has to be a comic. You have to call it a comic because no company will publish it that way. They will never look at it as a manga. They'll look at it as a comic." And for me, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of an eye opener a little bit because I have heard that before, but I still want to go. Like, I still want to say that it's a manga for sure, like a American style manga, if anything, like a manga style story. And it's definitely influenced by the manga creator. So I don't know if calling it a comic or a manga is just that big of a deal to the industry people, then that's kind of unfortunate. But yeah, I still believe that it should just be called a manga, so that's what it's written as.
Yeah, I
And
mean that seems kind of harsh too, for them to kind of go that route.
I mean, they were definitely just like really stern about that part of it, like for sure. So I guess that's an industry thing, like a big industry thing. Probably Viz Media or something like that, because I did look into it. Like Viz Media, if you look at their Viz Originals, all of their Viz Originals, which are technically mangas, are read left to right. So that's one thing. Like if you're a manga creator and you were in America and you're trying to go to like Viz or something, you might have to go left to right. For me myself, I do want to stay right to left and just keep it actual manga style, because that's actually what I want. Like that's what I like as the style. So like there's still other routes though, as far as if you don't want to go big company. The big company is really hard anyway, but there's other companies like Voice. There's another company called Strine that's just got they just released their app. And the White Manga, his name is White Manga. He's really good. His company, they also do right to left, and they're actually they just got into stores worldwide as well. So all the industry stuff is changing. Like it's changing for sure, because it's coming from print, and now we're on the web comic, and now we're up to Webtoon, and now we're seeing a bunch of self-publishing and a lot of self-publishing teams, like creators coming together to make these anthropology type magazines type thing. I think we were talking about that earlier, but it's like an anthropology type magazines where everyone puts like a chapter or maybe two chapters together. Like a lot of teams are coming up on Kickstarter, and they're just making up these publishers and making up pretty much their own like little publishing teams to put out their put putting their content out together. So if I was to get with some other manga creators, that's something I would definitely look at trying to do.
Yeah, I'll have to get you in touch.
Because I
Zefko
definitely
off
want
of
to.
Mayapple, that was like 2 days ago. So it's fitting that like you would be like the interview, like two interviews next. You know what I mean?
So definitely, people like that, I would definitely check out for sure. I was looking at this Zenko link just now, actually, when you told me about it. Looks pretty entertaining. I'm gonna definitely read some more into that.
So before we dive into chapter, 2 and 3, Art of War has a really interesting concept where they're able to like design their weapons. Can you give us a little bit of a breakdown before we dive into chapter 2 and 3?
Yeah, so Art of War is where is where the characters can draw their weapon literally. So on any surface per se, so like a wall or a desk, or of course like a note or a traditional I don't know, a countertop, anything that they can draw on that's a solid surface, they can actually manifest and materialize that weapon off of that surface into real life. So it's kind of an interesting concept, and it was definitely very fun to work with because there's a lot of different ways that I could went about it when I was in the writing process.
So does it matter what surface they draw on? I don't think that's a question that I asked last time, but that it just like kind of like popped up in my head right now when you were saying they can draw on any surface.
Yeah, I have some scenes where it's kind of like that's another thing we were talking about too, where different type of artists and whatnot. So like let's say we had like a graffiti artist, of course they can probably spray a can on the wall of like maybe like I don't know, some type of weapon like a club or something, and then they would be able to materialize straight off the wall like the graffiti spray paint. and into an actual weapon. That would be like a certain thing, right?
So
there.
What would it matter like if it was like a brick wall or like a wooden wall? Like, does like the type of wall it is matter, or is it just the art that is the main, like the main focus?
No, it wouldn't matter about the surface, and they can pretty much draw anything, and it will matter about the skill of the artist. Like a sharper, more refined artist would be able to draw like a sharp, refined weapon, and then like a more of a mediocre artist, the weapons that he would draw wouldn't be as strong as the weapons that a sharper artist would draw.
I gotcha. So with that being said, I think we kind of set the pace. We you know, talked on chapter one, we talked about the concept. Let's go ahead and take a look at chapter two and three with Pancake and get an idea of what's going on, and then after this we'll touch base on what's next. You did say there was a chapter four in the works, right? Or you're already done with it?
Yeah, I'm already done with chapter four, and chapter five sketch already returned. And I did my own personal like draft of chapter six already. And I already sent that, or I didn't send it to the artist yet, but I already have that all done.
Ooh, you have been busy.
Yeah, it's been really efficient. Like, we've been creating really fast and actually with good quality too. Like, everything has been really quality.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and we're gonna switch over to the comic. So this is chapter one, page one. We're here in modern day Blue York City.
Yeah, we actually reach modern day in chapter two. So chapter one is like a split between Ronin's time and Sketch's time. Then they suddenly disappeared, and chapter two, we are here in the modern day.
So what are we seeing right here? This is an introduction to the main character of the Art of War.
Yep. It's kind of like it's basically a news lady on the I call it a hologram, or no, a hollow screen, which pretty much is a hologram screen. But yeah, the news lady, she's kind of talking about the gang violence in the city, and she names the city, the city that we're in the modern day is called Blue York. So it's like a rendition of New York, so like a modern day city type setting.
We see that three task force members were killed in an alleyway as well. So there's been some fighting going on with artist gang members.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to set the potential for it to be a darker tone story, because it actually is. If you look at it, it kind of looks really fun and whatnot. But I want to be a little bit edgy later on. So early on, I wanted to kind of set that little bit of a tone there that people actually can die like in this setting.
All right, so let's check out page two. And right here, we're getting an idea of Aaron. And she might not be the most timeliest person. She gets a look at the clock. She might realize that she might be running late for something.
Yeah. Chapter two, actually, it explains very well of how Aaron is. And also chapter three touches on that as well. She's very time bent and not good at keeping track of it. And yeah, we kind of introduce her a little bit. We got her favorite things right there. A little, that's her sketchbook. She has like a cat. She has little Saz Nova, which comes up later, like little Saz Nova sticker.
So what was your direction for making Aaron always late and just not very good with time? Was there any special, you know, meaning behind it, or reason why you wanted to go that way, or did it just kind of fit?
I really wanted her to be organic, like a really organic character. And as far as like design, I knew I wanted her to be someone kind of like if you read other mangas from My Hero, you have the elite female, I forget her name, but she's also like the elite female, or she's I forget her name, but also Jujutsu Kaisen, it's Nobara Kugasaki. Yeah, both of them, they're kind of like brunette type. They have like brown hair, they have like kind of like short medium hair, and they're not really like, they're not tomboys, but they're not girly girls. They're just really organic, and they just kind of take the world as it comes. That's how I want it kind of Aaron to be. And I don't know, the dialogue kind of reflects that definitely like throughout the story. And she's definitely time bit, she's definitely witty, she's definitely snappy. Like yeah, she's a pretty cool character. So she's right definitely here. My favorite character that I've ever written.
I also love the cat too. You see her, I've done this before too, where I've realized I'm late for something and I jump off, rip the covers off, and the cat goes, you know, but the cat doesn't go flying, but the cat definitely is like, yo, you know, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, and those are actually references from my own cats. Like, both cats are there. Those look actually like my own cats. So I thought that was pretty funny that I added them in there.
So you're still working with the same art studio that you worked with Chapter One, correct?
Yep. We're still just linked up and going strong.
And do you want to go ahead and give them a little bit of a shout out since we didn't get a chance to mention them earlier?
Oh yeah, it's Kai-Fi Studio. They're based in Los Angeles, and they're pretty good. They do illustrations. They do they even do like web stuff, like web design.
Mm-hmm.
And they do music too, like YouTube playlists of like lo-fi music, and they just do like illustrations over the music, so you can like look at the illustrations and have the lo-fi music in the background.
So we get a chance to see our main protagonist heading to the ESOL Academy for Artists. She is running super late, and this is the official start to Art of War Chapter 3.
Yeah,
or Chapter 2, excuse me. And here she comes.
Yep, it's called Here She Comes. There's the logo, Art of War. So she does ride a scooter, and this is kind of like a world building thing. Like, I watched a YouTube video on just like world building, and you mm-hmm. just want to kind of place it there early on. Like, ESOL Academy for Artists, that is a school that she attends. It's not like a core thing where the story will revolve around her being there, but that is a place that she attends.
Gotcha. And let's go ahead, and it looks like right here we see class has begun. They get an hour to draw weapons. Everyone's working, and it's the final exam. So she picked a horrible day to be late, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's not the day you want to be late to your class, is on final exam day.
So can you give us a little bit of a breakdown of this teacher? You know, what type of personality does this teacher have, and how big of an influence is he going to be within Art of War?
So Professor Maximus Pallet, that's his name. I just chose that name because I wanted to have something I thought Maximus is also always like,
I love the palette too. I mean, it's like the ESOL Academy, the palette, like it's clever. It goes hand in hand.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite characters, especially in the beginning. He's really like a strong core character in the beginning of the story. And later on, he kind of just like he changes his role, basically. But himself, he's just kind of this cool teacher. He wears a nice jacket, like a little bit of a spoiler. Later on, he drives like a hot rod car. But he's really popular, and he's definitely like pretty stern. He's witty. He's kind of sarcastic. You'll kind of see it in this chapter too, how he talks to Aaron, how he's talking mm-hmm. to the how he's talking to the kids right now, like the students and whatnot. He's giving them this long, shrewd speech about how hard school is and how he loves their faces struggling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Aaron, of course, making her grand entrance right as soon as he's telling them to enjoy the rest of their spring as it blooms mm-hmm. into summer. Right when it's ending, she enters class.
Uh-huh. Here's Aaron, late and not on time. Definitely speaking to her character of how she'll be handling things all throughout the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I fail now, I'll basically have to be perfect in summer semester. So they have school during summer as well, or is that summer school?
They just have summer semester all year round. They definitely have breaks in between, but yeah, they definitely have a summer.
You know, that
semester.
Is something about Japan, right? This is based in Japan, correct?
It's a fictional city like Blue York, but you could say modern Japan, modern New York.
Yeah, because they do schooling like all year round, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I could, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm spoiled or something, but like summer break was always just, it was hitting, yeah, you know?
Yeah, it was super long. Like when you think about it, it actually is really long. Like, cause their breaks are usually like winter break or something. Like,
like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we get like 3 months.
Yeah. Which is pretty much Yeah, actually, we were pretty spoiled at that because thinking about 3 month breaks is wild. Like 3 month breaks from just school.
So yeah, I loved how you put that in there. You know, when you went to go build this fictional world, you know, did you draw a lot of influences from modern Japan?
Modern Japan, it was from a bunch of different influences I had, but yeah, definitely modern Japan was like a core staple, and modern New York definitely, like as far as the buildings and stuff we'll be using. Like I used a lot of photos from New York. Like I have a ton of them just saved like in a folder, like a reference folder. Yeah, as Aaron's talking here, you see the professor, he's kind of just not having it. Like you were late. Yeah, he's not just having it at all. And he actually just continues to tell them to enjoy their break pretty much.
Oh yeah, so he's not going to be giving her any sort of like break or any sort of sympathy at all. And then we meet another interesting person right here as well. You know, let's pray for summer semester, Aaron. But it looks like he still has a little bit something to say too.
Yeah, so this character is a Rose, and she's like basically Erin's bully type of person, like her I want to say rival, arch little rival in school. And you can see she always has something smart to say when she's talking to Erin, like for sure. And at the bottom here, he's just pretty much going on, still being like all about like, yeah, there's good luck for summer. He does take a little moment here on the next page to actually give Erin some advice about how she goes about the rest of her school year.
Saying she, you know, she has great potential, even though she's trying to prove that she's not trying to tap it. Pretty much like a, you know, be better, do better.
Yeah, exactly. Just be a little bit better, be on time, and just use your potential to its best potential and stop being late, essentially.
I love the little throwback to the arcade as well. Were these some of the same arcades that we've seen in Chapter One?
It's not the same city, but yeah, just another arcade. So it actually plays around later. So in Chapter One, we saw a sketch of the arcade. He was playing Galactic One. And this chapter is, you know, it's modern day, so we're playing Galactic Six now. So, and that's another game that Aaron plays. So later, when Aaron meets up with Sketch, like later in the story, they actually connect that way.
Oh, that's
Like they
really cool.
actually,
I love the little Easter egg too. Is that something that you kind of were hoping readers would find on their own, or is it something that you just wanted it to be kind of hidden? If they saw it, they saw it.
Yeah, technically, because it's not really mentioned for real, maybe not till later at least, but yeah, like it's pretty much how Aaron and Sketch kind of connect like later on, because they become really good pals, like good friends.
Absolutely. That is cool too. I always love the little Easter eggs in there that kind of ties the story together.
I don't know if you ever played Tekken at all, but Galactic, that's what I kind of modeled it after. Like, that's where I got the idea of like Galactic One, then went to Galactic Six, and then that's pretty
I
much
was
what I
really big
modeled
on
it after.
Tekken Tag for the PlayStation 2, and if you beat it, you unlocked bowling. So we always used to bowl on
Oh yeah.
Tekken. Dude, it was the best. It honestly was so much fun.
Yeah, Tekken Tag was one of my favorites. Tekken Tag 2 was like literally my favorite of all time. Like that was my favorite Tekken.
So now we kind of see her going ham on this game, and she loses track of time once again without realizing she's been here playing this game for 4 hours straight.
Yeah, she was just kind of like blowing off steam pretty much just because, you know, she failed her exam. That's what she was thinking about and whatnot. And she clearly got KO'd and yeah, kind of slammed her hands on the arcade game. So yeah, she has been there for 4 hours, and that's pretty much like how her personality is. Like she pretty much doesn't pay attention. I want to say kind of like an airhead, like quote unquote.
Now, next page is a nice little scene of her realizing just how late she truly is and how much of a rush she's in to get out. And then we see the arcade owner making his little remark here, freaking kids, I swear, always in a rush. You know, which I think kids really are, right? You know, as a kid, I remember always being in a rush. Like I was like, you know, had all the time in the world, and I always made sure to get there as fast as humanly possible.
Oh yeah, I was in a rush all the time when I was a kid, just to play games though. Like I would literally run home and like run into my room and just turn my game directly
Always
on
late
without
as hell to
doing
everything
anything
too.
else. Yeah. Like
Then this
that's
brings
pretty
us
much.
to the last page of chapter two. Seeing that she's on the way to meet Sassanova. So the sticker on her little journal, she's getting ready to meet that artist.
Well, yep. It gets mentioned in chapter three where she's actually going, but yeah, you can tell she's late for something again, and that's pretty much what she's late for.
All right, so let's go ahead. Speaking of chapter three, let's bring that over as well. So we'll start right off the rip. I like how everything transitions smoothly too. Like right, you know, we were able to flip right into it. It, you know, right here, it almost looks like she's busting out some sort of trick right here.
Oh yeah, she's a scooter girl for sure.
Dude, I used to see some of those what is it? The X Game scooter people doing like the 720 like spin flips. I'm like, oh my god, dude! I sound like such a boomer talking about it, but it just blows my mind.
Yeah, X Games were really fun to watch, and I always like to watch them because of Goofy, the actual Goofy movie number two. Like the character Max, he was in the X Games in that movie. It was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I do. I love those Goofy movies so much. Holy crap. When they went camping when he was going to college. One of the saddest moments of my life. It's like, Max, spend some time with your dad, please.
Oh, yeah. He was totally bent on not hanging out with his dad. Also,
so
there's
after...
another...
Ahead.
My bad. This is another X Game movie. It's called Brink that was on Disney Channel.
The roller skating one?
Yeah, that movie.
Oh,
really
you're going to make me
good.
Show my age here. So we see
that
Aaron busting out some tricks. You know, maybe a tail whip, scootering along, then things, you know, are about to come to a head, you could say. So who is this in the glasses that we're about to meet?
She gets introduced as a foreign character, and she's she's a foreign exchange student, and her name is Mickey.
I really like how you design her glasses as well. Was there any sort of, like, inspiration or influence for those designs?
Yeah, so one of those like the geeky characters in like mangas and anime, for some reason they always have like swirly eyes, like the swirly eyes deal going. So I really wanted that in one of my characters when I was like first starting out writing it, and I decided to be hers because so Erin, she has a trio of course with like Ronin and Sketch, but she also has another trio that she's a part of, and it'll be Mickey and the other guy that we're going to meet this chapter. And that'll be pretty much like her regular friends who aren't artists, like people who don't have powers. Like that's that trio, and then it's her trio with Ronin and Sketch. So I really wanted a character with like swirly eyes to be a part of that trio, and this was her. She has like the binary 0110 on her shirt.
So it looks like she was about to take her out with her scooter, but she crashed, and it looks like her scooter's instead about to get taken out by this bus.
Yeah.
Things are about to get bussing, you could say.
Yeah, exactly. So she crashes into Mickey, and then her scooter kind of rolls out into the street, and then here comes a random bus just going and rolls it over.
And there goes my scooter. And I love this too, her looking for her glasses. It gives me the Velma feel so hard.
Yeah.
You know, jinkies.
Yeah, exactly.
And then right here, sorry, I was walking out the door when some monster attacked me. So she doesn't even know what even just happened right now.
Yeah, and her explanation, even on the next page, is kind of just pretty. It's kind of like just rambling, but it's kind of like rambling, I guess, purely, where she's just like describing things just weirdly, like her oddly.
I really loved how the artist put, you know, this background here too. You know, the way, you know, she was talking about the monster, they designed like the monsters in the background. And then when the moment of realization, when she's like, oh crap, that was me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then right here, a rush to where technically it's secret, but it's not secret for much long. On page five, we have another interesting character drop in to spill the beans. So who is this character? Another thing I noticed too is when characters get like formally introduced, they have like a little background to them. Like with Rose, when Rose was introduced, she had like a whole bunch of roses behind her.
Yeah, it's kind of like In manga, and when I read it, I think I read it, I've seen it in comic books too, to where it's like when a character gets introduced, you kind of do like a full body or pretty much like a drawn out shot so you can see the details of the character. And yeah, he did a really good job because he looks pretty cool. This is Sully, and actually his inspiration was Hai. I think his name is Hai. It's like Hau, so it's kind of pronounced weirdly. But he's from Pokemon Sun and Moon. He was like the
I
rival
hated that
character.
dude. I absolutely. That's the dude you had to fight all the time, right?
Yeah, come up out of nowhere and just he always
His
wants to fight.
dude, his brother was a champion. It's like, bro, listen, I already how many times
Yeah.
I gotta teach you this lesson, old man? Like,
Exactly. Exactly. Like that's where this character's inspiration was from. It was
I
kind of
love
like
how he's picking up the scooter,
a
bolts are
Hawaiian
falling
type.
off of it and everything.
Yeah, it has little wings, like RIP to the scooter. But yeah, he kind of reveals that she's going to Sasnova's Secret Underground Showcase. So Sasnova, apparently she throws like secret underground showcases, and that's like her thing because she
So are those
the
like underground I don't even know how you would explain it, 'cause like with art being like a weapon, are those like underground like fight clubs or anything like that, or do they have the potential to be like that? Like, what can we expect from these underground shows?
There's definitely potential for underground like fighting and art shows and artists fighting underground. Sasnova Showcase, I would think it would definitely be something where she's just showing off her skills as an artist, like drawing her weapons and just putting on an art show pretty much. Like
Because like art in this world is totally different than art in our world. You know what I mean? There's so much more
yeah.
potential for things to go wrong or things to go crazy in this world with art, it feels.
Yeah, that's one thing I mentioned too before. Like, I have a news. I have a, I actually have a news webtoon about Art of War. It's called Art of War the News, where it's just kind of like themes and ideas and not a real story. And I actually mentioned on there that it was that architecture. Like, architecture is actually like a big industry in the artist world because you can just have people like actually drawing buildings instead of like constructing them
That
and
is so
whatnot.
cool. That is
Yeah.
so cool. Are they able to do that with like other things too, like cars or vehicles or anything?
Yeah, they have like a whole design industry, pretty much potential in art of in the setting of Art of War.
And we see that Miki doesn't know who Sasnova is. So I love this little introduction. You see Eren like heart, bubbles like above her head and everything when she's explaining who she is.
Yeah, definitely Eren has like a thing for Sasnova when it comes to just knowing her and just having all these ideals about her. It's kind of like
Fangirling.
like Sasnova is pretty much a popular artist in the city, like in the city of Blue York. She's
So what does being a popular
popular.
artist in this world entail? Like, what are you capable of? Everything?
You're definitely more of you're definitely more of a talented artist as far as being able to draw your weapons and I guess fight other artists, and that will probably entail to her showcases and whatnot, like the showcases she put on. Probably doing showcases probably got her to being popular because she got more known for her skill, like her actual skill as an artist.
So right here we see it seems like the scooter's gonna have some significance as well too, because they don't want to leave it right in the middle of the road. And Aaron just runs off, but then she has a second thought about her scooter. So do we see more of that scooter like in later parts?
It's potentially yes, because
Or
right
are scooters
now
like
I
super
have it.
expensive in this world?
Probably not. It's probably like the same as it would be like normally. And yeah, she was just yeah, she pretty much left her scooter, so she just had a little thought about it. And she don't even want to think about it because it pretty much got smashed by a bus and whatnot.
And real quick, while we're here, and I noticed it, I noticed that Miki's shirt. You said it had Morse code on it, right?
Yeah, it's
Or it
like
was
binary
binary.
code,
Is there
like
is does this have any like symbolism, or is it any word that it represents, or was it just a random like combination of the numbers?
Yeah, just like binary code when you do it like in computers, it's usually like a bunch of zero and a bunch of ones pretty much. I know they mean something like in a coding world or whatever, but I'm not it wasn't too much of a symbol.
I
It's kind
gotcha.
of yeah, entails to her character.
Make her more geeky. I get it. I get it. Nothing wrong with
Yeah.
keeping it geeky. Nothing wrong at
Yeah.
all.
Swirly, swirly eyes. keeping it easy for sure.
We get the official introduction to Chapter 3, Underground Party. And I really love, like, just how everything looks in the paneling and the lights. This just, the way the artist captured this underground party just was beautiful.
Yeah, like, as soon as Erin saw the party, she's kind of like, whoa, it's really a party. And, yeah, it's definitely a lot of people here, like, Saz Nova. Clearly, mm-hmm. she's a person who brings people out, like, and gets them out and active.
Next so page, we also find that this is a new location as well.
Yeah, that's what I would think too for someone who is kind of like an indie, pretty much like an indie creator throwing out like these showcases underground. Mm-hmm. She'll probably have to pick like a new location every time.
Are these like illegal, or is it just to kind of make it more like, you know, if you know where it is, you're like in the know, like you're one of the cool kids.
Yeah, probably something that you would have to get a good word of mouth about. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I wouldn't say illegal though, like not at all.
So then we see Rose. Notice that it's Erin.
Yeah, she bumped into Erin, and then she said, "Hey, look, it's Erin." Well, they bumped into each other probably mm-hmm. by accident. And then yeah, she kind of starts attacking her like she kind of always does. She says, "How does it feel to fall behind everyone?" And then Erin kind of just replies to her.
And then, you know, the CSAS Nova, I love how they, you know, she's like, duh, you know, why else would I be here studying the greats? With that being said, why aren't you studying a trash can? I was like, damn, dude, she is just like out to get the throat at this one.
Yeah, like she literally, I don't know, she has a thing for Erin for sure. It definitely, definitely have to think for Erin about trying to come for her neck for sure. Mm-hmm.
And then we see someone spilling a drink on Rose. A really interesting moment here. When we transition, we get introduced to a new character. So who is this?
This character didn't get a name this chapter or the following chapter, actually. She appears in the next chapter too. But
so she's a mysterious force.
Yeah, like if you can just look at the way she's dressed, like she's 100% Erin's rival, like later in the story. And I can just it's a little bit of a spoiler, mm-hmm. but it's not a spoiler. But yeah, her name is Bali.
Okay, so we're getting a little bit of an exclusive name and little drop there. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah, her name's Bali, and she's gonna be pretty much Erin's like direct other rival of someone with skill. Like she's got kind of like a prodigy artist herself. Mm-hmm.
So we see Erin get caught up again, and it's the two from earlier. They're out of breath running to catch up with her.
Yeah, yep, they caught up, they finally catch up to her. They're out of breath, and they if you didn't notice, they never got Aaron's name. So that's what he's mm-hmm. asking right now. He's like, "Who is your friend?" And he said, "In fact, like, who are you?" Like, to Erin.
Yeah, yeah. That's nice of them to get the scooter, though. Who is your friend? In fact, who are you? Like, and then Erin's rival, you know, hardly friends. So right off the rip, you know, she wanted to get Rose away from her, but we kind of get a feeling that she doesn't want to be friends, you know. So why introduce her in that manner?
It's really kind of like Bali's doing her own thing type of thing. Like, it was totally like a random, a random occasion that it happened. Like, a random, it wasn't supposed to happen. Like, she mm-hmm. kind of bumped into her. I don't know. Because, I don't know. As a reader, I want to say that Bali actually spilt that drink on Rose on purpose. That's what I want to say as a reader. And, like, she just noticed that she was talking down on Erin and actually mm-hmm. just came over with a drink and, you know, quote unquote, accidentally spilled it. But yeah, that's how I want to see it as a reader.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So page 15, we see that she's actually getting ready to leave. Erin doesn't even have time to really talk to her. She's like, "Wait, what?" And then a really brief interaction. But you said we see her come mm-hmm. back more. Do we see her more in 4 and 5, or is it something where we wait a little bit to get more of her her story more properly fleshed out?
So she's in chapter 4 and 5. She's just not the focus, like, at all. Like, actually, when I wrote this chapter, like, these her panels were actually supposed to be a little bit smaller. She wasn't supposed to get like a big introduction panel, but I don't know, we just decided to do it differently. And I mean, it came out good though, because it's still kind of she's only on a couple pages, and when she actually gets introduced later, it actually it comes out smoothly. It comes out smooth because we don't get her name here, and we won't get her name next chapter.
Yeah, and but you get that build up. You get that that curiosity starting to build up, and you know the payoff. You know, that's awesome. I loved it. I love it. So what's her deal? Another little interesting panel here. These three are left wondering what's going on with her, but then we see another really interesting looking pair right there, kind of like off in the shadows.
And they're up top, like, 'cause in this warehouse, it's kind of like 2 or 3 floors, and they're at the top floor, and you can see they're kind of hanging around, and definitely about some trouble for sure, which kind of leads into like the chapter 4, like what chapter 4 and 5 will be about.
So we find that these two are here to crash this party. So things are about to get to a climatic point, it feels. They're getting ready to jump off. We see them jump off from the balcony, and then we end on page 18 with them jumping down. So anything you could tell us about these two, or is that do we have to wait until chapter 4 to find out?
Well, they're definitely here for trouble, for sure.
Ooh,
Like,
okay.
that's they probably got impatient that Saz Nova wasn't there yet. That's what I would say.
All right, so right there is chapter 2 and 3. Let's go ahead and move back to our regular cameras. So Pam, after going through chapter 2 and 3, what can we expect from chapter, 4 and 5? When are you expected to have those out and available for readers to check out?
4, I actually have 4 right now, actually. Like, it's in the same type of Dropbox link that I could send you. I just didn't think we would have enough time actually to even look at that one. But that's definitely something we can check out like next time, or
Yeah,
when we have
yeah.
more like time or whatever.
All right,
But
so where could readers find it though? What websites, or any paywall, subscription-based paywall? Like, where can we find chapter 4 to read in the meantime?
Right now I don't have Art of War really uploaded anywhere right now. Like, it's kind of like I was talking to publishers and just trying to get something someone interested. I'm trying to get a publisher interested before I really even think about posting it pretty much anywhere. Like, right now, only thing I really have up is the I have a webtoon, like the news. It's called Art of War the News. Like, that's what it's called. And it's on Webtoons, and it's about like 11 chapters up right now. It gives general ideas and themes about Art of War. And right now, I don't have it uploaded anywhere. Like, these chapters that we just read, like we read chapter 1 back on interview 64, and we read chapters 2 and 3 on this interview. Like, I don't have those chapters like up anywhere. Like, I'm thinking right now I might upload them to this site called Pixiv, which is a really good site if you want to upload like artwork or upload comic book or upload manga stuff. That's a good site to do it. I think I was going to do it there, but as of right now, it's not uploaded anywhere. I just have it in the Dropbox, and I'm kind of sitting on it a little bit as I keep creating art and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of publishers, like, who are you reaching out to? Who are you looking at? Do you have anyone you got your eyes on?
The publisher for Voice, it's a site called Voice Me, and the publisher actually contacted me. He went into, or not the publisher, but the actual owner of the Voice Me. Like, he actually DM'd me, and so he requested material. I sent him the material. He just haven't got back to me yet.
Oh, that's exciting.
But Voice Me would definitely be ideal because they're definitely a growing publisher. Like, they're growing. I think they have about 60,000 on
Wow,
Instagram
yeah, that's big. That is big.
right now. Yeah, like, they're growing for sure, and they were doing mostly like webtoon style, like manhwa style, like the vertical stuff. But they definitely have like a niche for like mangas too and comic books, like left to right stuff. And Yeah, like that would be ideal just because that would definitely be a place where I can stay like right to left and actually get a niche in the manga world right to left and a nice upcoming publisher and a nice upcoming story. Like everything will be like win-win-win all together around. I think the owner voiced me. His name is Talano, and yeah, I sent him material maybe about a week ago, like a week and a half ago.
That's so
So yeah.
cool.
Like that's the one that I would definitely for sure. Like of course I sent it to I actually just submitted like a whole PDF file to Viz. Like Viz has originals, but if I went Viz originals, I already know they're gonna ask for the story to be like converted to left to right. And I don't know. To me, it's just like it's a thing to where like what I prefer. Like I actually prefer to grab the book and open it right to left. Like I don't know. I just have a bunch of manga on my shelf basically.
Yeah,
And I
yeah,
don't know,
yeah.
I just would want it to be like that for when I
Nothing
create
wrong with
something
a
too,
preference
but
either. You know, nothing wrong. You're creating this. This is your story. This is your creation. So why, you know, there's nothing wrong with you creating it the way you want to create it, right?
Yeah, that's why I think voice would be I think voice would be honestly just like really perfect, like a perfect match, like altogether.
That's so cool. So what's next? Are you still working on Art of War? Do you have any other projects? I know you said you were working on that webtoon, but that's kind of still Art of War-esque. You know, is there
Yeah.
anything outside of Art of War that you're working on, or are you just mainly focused on this?
Mainly it's just Art of War really because I actually have another like in the manga world they have these things called like one shots where it's pretty much like a one shot off like story like pretty much like a side story and they use one shots to actually get into the like publishers like buildings. They use that to like, show their skill and stuff and then they will actually go into the publisher to make like a real story after that. But some one shots actually get turned into like a bigger story. So like for Jujutsu Kaisen as an example, he actually turned that into a one shot story just to
I never
get
knew that.
into yeah, he just
That's
tried to
pretty
get into
cool, yeah.
shonen with that one shot. But they like that story and that idea so much that they went ahead and just made that into the manga itself that he was gonna publish and whatnot. So I'm doing a Art of War one shot and it's called Art of War Kamino Shot. And it's pretty much it's about an artist. She's from the early 1900s. So it's just another artist. She's a famed artist like throughout time, and she lived her life out in the early 1900s. And I'm actually
Ooh,
doing a
I
one
love the
shot.
different time zones that you get to capitalize
Yeah.
on because it gives you so much room to play with.
Yeah, and a lot of different cultures and style from different time zones too. Like the main story Art of War, it takes place all in one like the modern area, like the or the our modern like the modern time, like today's time. And we just have like two time jumpers, like Ronin and Sketch, come from their time to the modern day, and then the whole story takes place all in the modern like era, like modern day. So it's not like really confusing or anything. But like there were like artists, you know, in different times, just like Ronin. So the one shot is from just the early 1900s, and it's in another pretty much a city, like a city that was in the 1900s, like a upcoming city, kind of probably like a Philadelphia. That's what I kind of was thinking, like a Philadelphia type of a city.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, well, I appreciate you coming back on. It's always awesome to have a returning guest make another appearance on the show. And I love the fact that we were able to continue. You know, we went from chapter one the first time, and now we knocked out chapter two or three. So we got to get you back on for chapter four and five. You know, we got to make this a thing where we finish this off until you finally get on, you know, a publishing label or something. You know, we got to keep this trend going. I'm loving this. I'm loving seeing, you know, the story for Eren like start to unfold and develop around her. And yeah, I really can't see, you know, what's, you know, I can't wait to see what's coming next from you. This is everything's been just like, you know, it's just been such an awesome ride, and I'm excited for you, Pam. This has been great.
Yeah, your channel has been great. Like I actually love being on here to talk about the story. And I do want to say when I first read Art of War, like the first chapter, it was always written that way. But the second chapter when I introduced Eren, like when I first wrote it was actually just straight to the point. Like I did all these info drops and everything about artists and Art of War and how it works and everything. And it was just her and the professor like the entire chapter. And I went back and just read it and I rewrote the whole thing and made it to like a more of an organic like an introduction, an organic introduction of where something happened. Like they're at this underground party and they see some action because it worked out way better. Like when I
read it that way, I think you know when I read through it, I think I had a really good organic feeling. I think maybe doing it the way that you originally did it might have been maybe a little bit too much of like an exposition dump. I think the way you kind of filtered it in this, I think you did an outstanding job.
Yeah, because it was really just a big info dump on artists and how they materialize weapons. Because they really use this thing called Key Serum Energy. So it was like a whole bunch of explaining. And I don't know, just rereading it, I was like, this is too much info. It's too many words, basically. So I just wanted something organic, like an event, kind of like an introduction event, pretty much. Like they're at this underground party and this whole thing happens where in chapter 3 those guys they jump over the rail and they kind of start this whole ruckus out. And it kind of gets heavy in chapter 4, it gets really heavy in chapter 5, and then that's kind of where it transitions from chapter 6 to the next scene, to where we actually leave the underground warehouse. So I don't know, the introduction from there is way better than I first had it, to where I was just doing a big info dump and whatnot.
No, absolutely. And it sounds like things are about to get spicier and spicier as we near closer towards, would you say that's going to be, you know, is chapter, anything past like chapter 6, 7, like is that going to be like the first arc or the first book? Like how many chapters are going to be in like the first run?
I really just have it set at 175 pages. Like once I cross 175, that's when I'll just wrap up like one volume. Like that's when I'll, and I'm thinking that'll be, right now I estimate that'll be like 12 or 13 chapters. Okay. That's what I estimate right now.
So why that number though? Like what drove you to that number in particular?
Cause usually it's 200 pages in a manga volume. So I wanted to do 175 and then the extra 25 pages, I'll just kind of open it freely for like, pretty much like extra pages, like concept art, and kind of like illustration stuff.
I like that. I like that a lot. Well, hey Pam, we do have to be wrapping it up. I appreciate you coming back on the show. Can't wait to get you on for another third time. But before we officially end things, you know the drill. You were here once before, so I got to ask this question again. For anyone that is struggling, let's say with maybe building the world of their story, doing some world building, fleshing out some of these characters in their environment, what sort of advice could you give them to help them kind of start to develop that technique a little bit better?
Definitely read more. Like observation is the number one way to become a better artist in general. Like I learned that just from watching a bunch of YouTube videos, and that's what all the big artists, like the ones who just made it really big, that's what they all say, that observation was their main thing that helped them grow and learn as an artist itself. So if you want to be a better like manga creator or create your world better, just read other mangas that have made it like really good. I want to say like if you want to be like in a older, like let's say Edo period type of Japan where it's like samurais and stuff, then I will go read like Rurouni Kenshin or something. If you just want something where it's like a fictional village to where you know it's kind of like old style, something like Naruto is definitely something like that, where it's like its own type of village and you can tell the creator made the village and it's not like a village made from, not like a village that was actually there in real life before. Even though like, it probably definitely had influences from real life, but it's definitely like its own made up village. If you want like a fantasy type world, I would definitely go to somebody like Soul Eater, like the Soul Eater creator. Like he made his own fictional world and made like a smiling moon and it's kind of just trademarked.
Yeah, that was so crazy too.
Yeah. Like he's the same creator for Fire Force. So like he made like his own world, the buildings, like the architecture, it all looks it looks unique the way he made it. So you can tell like it's his own unique like thing, his signature, like his signature style. So I would just read stuff that you like first and foremost, and then just kind of make the world that you pretty much wanted. Like I wanted a modern city world, like because I like buildings and skyscrapers and stuff. And that's kind of why I like My Hero Academy, because it's kind of like setting that same stage. But that's what I wanted, so that's the route that I went for Art of War, because you definitely can make something called Art of War. You can make it, you can definitely make it into like a samurai time, and that would probably even make more sense, really. But I just really wanted modern city, so that's the route I went for sure. And it worked out perfectly, really, just because story just kind of flowed.
You know, you could always go back into that samurai story as another little one shot, and I think that would be really awesome too. That's the beauty of this. You can do so many different ideas with it. I love it. But until then, Pam, we do have to be wrapping it up. I appreciate you coming on once again. Thank you so much. This was such an awesome time breaking down chapter 2 and 3 and giving us a little bit of an exclusive look at just, you know, not only these chapters, but kind of what to expect in the next couple of chapters. With that being said, guys, it is a beautiful Thursday. I do have to get things ready for work, and man, I got to work all day. We have some more indie comic interviews tomorrow starting at 10:30 a.m. And then Saturday we have 2 planned, so be sure to stay tuned. Get notified on YouTube by clicking those upcoming live streams and just clicking notify. That being said, guys, I hope you have an awesome day, but most importantly, keep it geekly.